In these weeks, we've been going through a list. You have a list that you take to the grocery store, or at least you should, or statistics tell us you buy too much if you don't. But that list that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 13, particularly in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and the first part of verse 8, represents a listing, a description of love. Not just any love, for love in the English language can mean anything from I love my popsicle to I love my golf game to I love my wife or love my children. But that word love in the Greek language is very specific. It's the word agape. And we've been learning over these weeks that love can be described in this list. Agape love can be described in such a way that we can get a handle on this list. We can understand what these descriptors mean for us as we live life from day to day. We come to the statement that love does not act unbecomingly. It's in the fifth verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love does not act unbecomingly. What does it mean? Several translations, if you were to compare them, will pick a different word than the New American Standard that I'm reading from. Instead of love does not act unbecomingly, one version I have says love is not rude. The word that's translated unbecomingly, or the word that is translated rude, has many, many varied definitions. It certainly can mean to act unbecomingly. It can certainly mean to be rude. It also carries with the connotation of lewdness. The word lewd means something that is despicable, perhaps. Something that you wouldn't talk about in present company. The word can also mean gross. We've heard that word bantered around, at least in my generation, when you talk about someone who was acting grossly. Someone whose conduct was gross. It meant that they were doing things that were totally inappropriate. Or it can simply mean bad manners. One version of 1 Corinthians 13:5 describes and says, this kind of love does not act with bad manners. So you begin to see, begin to get an idea of this kind of love. It is going to be seen and reflected in the words we say, our speech. It's going to be reflected in our actions. When I was growing up, there was a television show entitled Candid Camera. How many remember that along with me? Thank you. All right. Alan Funt was one of the co-hosts. And you remember the premise of Candid Camera was to film someone without their knowing it. To set up a situation where someone would come in and unbeknownst to them, they were being filmed. And then someone that worked for the program for Candid Camera would either make a statement or ask a question or present a scenario. And you would see how this person reacted to it. Well, the show's been long gone, but the idea of catching people when they're not aware and seeing how they act has always been interesting, at least to me. ABC picked up on the idea of Candid Camera several years ago with a segment called What Would You Do? And one of their reporters, John Kionis, would set up scenarios and act them out. They would be filmed, and people who were unaware that they were being filmed would have to respond to whatever the situation would be. One of those concerns bad manners. Here's the setup. The ABC crew that's filming this has an actress who is sitting at a booth in a restaurant, and she exhibits what I guess most of us would call bad manners. Well, let's see what these people did in response to it.
Decisions.
Ah, those restaurant menus. So many choices. What if you choose the wrong thing? Some diners always seem to order the perfect meal.
That looks good.
If only you could sample them. But you can't. Or can you? Well, today, Tracy is about to find out at the Skylark Diner in Edison, New Jersey.
Oh, that's good. This section says share. I'm going to see if they want to share.
She starts by chatting with this first group of diners who are unlucky enough to be seated right next to her.
What are you guys getting? Okay, cool. I might try that.
Let me give you just a couple more minutes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Thank you.
What is taking our food so long?
Did she just say our food?
You ordered?
I'm waiting to taste your corned beef.
You think she's kidding? Well, watch this. Order up. Suddenly, this twosome is now a threesome.
How's it going?
Oh, I love you. You're my friend.
But what about this other woman?
Can I have a little bit of yours?
No, I ain't sharing. Oh.
Undeterred, Tracy pretends she still can't decide. She turns her attention to this next table.
Oh, that's frittata.
And now she makes her way over, plate in hand.
Since you guys are sharing, can I have a little taste?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Oh, okay. Thank you.
But then Tracy pushes for a little bit more.
Can I just have a little bit of the fruit? Is it fresh?
No, the fruit you can't have.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Shut down again. In fact, people are beginning to wonder whether there's something wrong with Tracy.
Are you okay? Everything is all right?
I just can't decide what I want to eat.
You can't go around to people and ask them to taste their food. That's not appropriate, but if you can afford to...
Thank you so much.
Tell me.
Oh, okay. No, I'm fine. I was just... But what's wrong with tasting before I order?
Wait, you don't do that here.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Good thing it's only what would you do.
Hi, guys. I'm John Quinones. I just came to taste your food. Can I have a little? Now, you would not take any of this.
I don't like sharing my food like that. I don't even do that with my husband.
Bad manners. I can't wait to try that at lunchtime today. That's what acting unbecomingly can mean. Anything from gross behavior to rudeness to something immoral and lewd, as we would call it, to the gamut of just simply not knowing how to act in public. You see, love doesn't do those things. A film segment from ABC, humorous, it gets the point across. But let's take it down to a level where it really matters, out of God's Word. It's that story that Jesus told, called the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. It's my contention that this word for acting unbecomingly, for rudeness, for lewdness, for gross behavior, for simple bad manners, it always is rooted in selfishness. And that's seen perfectly clear, seen crystal clear in the story that Jesus told out of Luke 15, beginning in verse 11 and reading through verse 24. We won't read it all. But it's the story of that son who acted in a way that was unbecoming. The passage says, "And Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living." Many of us have read this passage over and over and over again. It's a very familiar passage to many of us. Some, it may be the first time you've ever seen these words or heard this story. But take a moment and focus on one of the phrases that I just read. It's the one that said, "Father, give me. Father, give me what I deserve." That's the attitude that is rooted in selfishness. That's the attitude that this word in 1 Corinthians 13:5, when it says, "Love does not act unbecomingly," this is rudeness to the nth degree. This is bad manners. It's much more than that. It's disgusting. For what has really happened here? Well, if you take it for what the scripture says and look at it against the backdrop of the first century, This young man was usurping even the laws of inheritance. He was demanding of his father that he go ahead and split the portion of the estate that would come to the younger son. At what point? At the point of the father's death. He was considering his father already to be dead. The father responds in a way that's almost unbelievable. He doesn't criticize. He doesn't slap the child around, which probably would have been the right thing to do in some people's mind. But he acquiesced. And he divided the inheritance. And he gave the younger son his portion. Matter of fact, the word there, when it says he divided his wealth between them, that word wealth in the Greek language is the word bios. We get the word biology from it. Biology is the study of what? It's a study of life. And in the Greek language, bios means life. So literally it says the father divided not his wealth, but divided his very life between his two sons. Pretty amazing. Father, give me. As he left to go to that foreign land, which couldn't have been too far, it probably just means a Gentile land, it says that the father divided and gave the younger son his part, which meant he liquidated it. He sold off the land that probably was part of this inheritance. Can you imagine? Something that had been in the family for generations now, a young, impetuous son who is rude, who is crude, who is lewd, who has bad manners, who acts unbecomingly, now sells off his part to get the cash, and you've got these new neighbors that are sharing the property line with you. See, this kind of behavior is rooted in an attitude that says it's all about me. Selfishness. Love does not act unbecomingly. But the young man has a change of heart. And you skip to verse 17. And it says that this young man, after he had spent all of his money, lost all of his friends, he couldn't find any way to feed himself because the land was undergoing a famine. Couldn't find any job except a job that was feeding the pigs. And he longed to eat what the pigs were eating. And that's how he survive for a time. Until what? Until verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. Now, you hear that phrase? It's just a little bit different than the one we just read in the previous passage. It started out with what? Father, give me. Father, give me what's rightfully mine. I'm going to consider you to be dead. Give me my inheritance. I want it, and I want it now. No questions asked. And now it's what? It's I'm no longer to be called your son. So, Father, make me as one of your hired men. Father, make me what you want me to be. Totally different attitude. But did you notice the process the young man had to go through? This is when he came to his senses, it said. He not only realized what he had done, and I'm sure was filled with remorse and with regret for such bad manners, for such gross behavior with his own family, with his own loving father. He came to his senses. He got up and he went to his father. I think that's a perfect picture of what happens to each one of us when we face our own sinfulness, when we face our own unloving conduct, when we face our own conduct that's unbecoming of a human being who's been created in the image of God. We spend most of our time, Father, give me and give it to me now. And our Father, Heavenly Father, allows us to live life any way we want. But when we come to the end of our rope, when we come to our senses, that's not enough. Coming to one's senses, realizing and being filled with remorse is a step, but it's not enough. It must be followed with action. I get up and I go to my Father. And I ask Him to make me what He wants me to be. No longer this unbecoming attitude, no longer this life filled with hurtful words, no longer this gross behavior, no longer this life filled with bad manners. And that's an understatement. It's now a life that is coming back in full surrender and in shame and coming just as I am. You know, that's why that song for many of us is a call to come back to God just as I am. Not trying to fix myself. Not trying to pretty up the picture. Not trying to comb my hair. Not trying to get rid of these filthy rags and find something that's presentable. But coming back to my Heavenly Father just as I am. Because it's only God's power and only God's love and only Christ's blood shed on the cross that can wash us white as snow. Total difference between a young man who said and lived his life, "Father, give me what I want," and one who is broken and comes to his senses and comes back to his Father and says, "Father, make me what you want me to be." So I ask you, how's your speech? How are the words that come from your mouth? You were here at the top of the hour. A bunch of high schoolers sang to us about the words that we speak to one another and the ramifications of those words. They can hurt, they can heal, they can destroy, they can bring back to life. How is your speech? How is your conduct? Love does not act unbecomingly. The movie called A Few Good Men. It's many, many years old. It's a story of, it's a courtroom drama. There have been many movies made where the plot centers upon a courtroom and the tenseness of it and the rules of law. Well, A Few Good Men is a movie that's based upon two Marines who were accused of murdering one of their own. It was a situation where in the tight-knit group of soldiers, those Marines, when you were given an order, you were expected to obey that order. And there was a lot of cloudiness. There was a lot of confusion around this charge brought against these two. And the whole movie is based around the courtroom scene, the cross-examination, the letter of the law. Bottom line, when all is said and done, these two young soldiers stand before a judge and a jury. And they're found not guilty of murdering the young soldier that was one of their own. But they were found guilty of conduct unbecoming of a soldier. Why? Why? Take a look.
On the charge of conduct unbecoming a United States Marine, the members find the accused guilty as charged. The accused are hereby sentenced to time already served, and you are ordered to be dishonorably discharged from the Marine Corps. This court martial is adjourned.
All rise.
What does that mean?
How?
What did that mean? I don't understand. Colonel Jessup said he ordered the code red.
I know.
Colonel Jessup said he ordered the code red. What did we do wrong?
It's not that simple.
What did we do wrong? We did nothing wrong.
Yeah, we did. We were supposed to fight for people who couldn't fight for themselves. We were supposed to fight for Willie.
Lieutenant Caffey, I have to take these men over to personnel for some paperwork.
One soldier never got it. What did we do wrong? But one understood clearly. We're guilty of conduct unbecoming. In what we did, yes. And in what we did not do, yes. You see, love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not come across as rude. Love does not engage in actions that are lewd and immoral. Love, God's love, does not come across in such a way that people's lives are destroyed. Love does not participate in gross behavior. And on the surface, we may call it bad manners. But any of those descriptors for this word, unbecoming, can destroy. That's why God's people, that's why you and I must understand and know how we're to behave if the love of God is in our hearts. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to consider the words we say, to consider our actions, and to decide accordingly. Father, help us to be those people that don't say, Father, give me what I want, but are those people that say, Father, make me what you want me to be. It's in Christ's name I offer this prayer. Amen. We offer an invitation as we conclude this service this morning. It could well be that there are those in this room and you have yet to say yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life. The very Son of God who lived a perfect and sinless life went to a cross and died that we might live. And our choice is simply to accept what God has already done for us through Christ. We can't earn it. We can't create it. We can't save ourselves. All we can do is understand and know that it's time for us to say, Father, make me what you want me to be. And he wants to make us what he intended for us to be all along, and that can only be through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ. So if that's the choice that's before you today, to give your heart to him, to say yes to Jesus, to become a follower of Christ, a Christian, to be converted, to be saved, whatever phrase resonates with you, that's what it means. Then we ask you to come forward today. There'll be deacons and ministers standing here to help you, to counsel, to pray. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just never told anyone. You need to profess your faith in him. Maybe you've never followed him in believer's baptism as Caitlin Veazey did this morning. That's an act of obedience. We didn't create it. We didn't make that up. This is God's doing. And if the desire of your heart, if what is missing in your faith walk with him is you've yet to identify with him in believer's baptism, then come forward today. Be willing to do that. We'll find a day and a time of service where you can experience believer's baptism. Maybe you're here and what you need is a community, a place to belong, a church. We invite you to join this church, our church, First Baptist Church here in Louisville. Are we the only church around? Of course not. Great churches all around here. But the point is, you find the one where you can serve, where you can fit in, where you can belong. And if that's what God is leading you to do today, then I want to ask you, come to your senses, get up, and come to God, come to the Father. That's what we all need to do today, no matter what our need is. Come to our senses, get up from where we are, and move our lives toward God. It's that simple. Maybe you just need prayer this morning. If that's something you feel you need in your life, you just want someone to pray with you, then Liz will be on one side and Ray will be on the other in this room and Lon will be in the balcony. And their purpose is just simply to pray with you today. That is our invitation. Love does not act unbecomingly, does it? No. So let's begin acting like God's people in the choices we make. We stand, we sing, we invite you to come right now.